Hey, this is Adam Richman from Food Network UK, and you are feasting your ears on the Hotspur podcast. Come on, you Spurs.
Yeah, well, welcome to a brand new Hotspurs podcast. It is Tuesday, the 27th of April, 2021. I am Steve in Neon Seat in Essex, and on today's show, we have got Mr. Simon Dugan, my best mate. How you doing, Dukes?
Very well. Good to be back, Steve. Good to be back.
Right, so we haven't done a show for a few weeks. It's just because it's like rinse, repeat, same old stuff. And then, of course, loads of things happened last weekend, which, of course, we'll talk about. And we've got the cup final as well. So where do you want to start?
Shall we start with Jose?
Right. Let's start with Jose.
Do it in order.
Let's start with Jose. So, you know, and all these things, like, I don't know about you, Dukes, but I go over it in my head back and forth and back. It's not because we were never, you know, we're normal fans, right? When we play well, when or we are unlucky, if we don't play well and we win, it's like we just say it how it is. It's you know, we've got no agendas. The only agenda is we want Spurs to do well, right? And there's two ways to do it. You play well and you win, or you don't play well and you win, right? Either of those is fine. You know, the third way, obviously, I don't, what am I talking about? I'm rambling. But or you play well, but you don't win, but you're happy with those. What we were getting with Jose is no, not winning and playing terrible. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think first of all, there's lots of different theories about why Jose went, isn't there? You know, what did he go before the cup final? Because if we win the cup final, they'd have to keep him. Did he go before the end of the season because he'll get less of a payout? Was it? I think personally, two things. I think the football was dire.
Yeah.
Absolutely dire. We weren't winning games. And I think he was killing the confidence of too many players. And I'm not saying he lost the dressing room, but it wasn't a united bunch, was it? You could see that.
Killing the game. I mean, killing the players. That phrase, which I've mentioned, and no one else is mentioning, kill the game, kill the game. I've not heard a manager before or since use that phrase.
Yeah.
We've got to kill the game. And, I've heard a few Spurs fans say it. Oh, we should have killed the game. Where'd you get that from? You know, Terry Venables never said we've got to kill the game. Martin Joel never said we've got to kill the game. Harry Redknapp never said we've got to kill the game. I've never heard Klopp say it, or Zidane, or Pep Guardiola, or Eddie Howe, or Chris Wilder. I've never heard any manager say we had to kill the game. What is that phrase? It was ridiculous, and he said it every single time. And it was a horrible phrase, and, you know, for reasons that I've explained before. Go on.
I also think it's interesting, if you take a step back, you look at what players have come out and said things since he left. And I know it's only Instagram and stuff, but, you know, there was four or five that come out and said thank you and the rest didn't. That's always an indication of who likes him and who doesn't.
Well, no, there's only two. There's only two. Kane and Son.
No, Dyer said some. Dyer said thank you.
Did he?
Yeah, I think Toby Alderweireld.
So he should, by the way.
Yeah, so he should. Reguilon said thank you, and one other, Lamella. So it was all his favourites. Lucas Moura, sorry, he came out and said thank you. So you know the ones who can say thank you. But also, I think, look, ultimately, I think the football was atrocious. It was atrocious. The last two games, I didn't watch the second halves. So I think, you know, they were starting to turn it off. Was there a little bit of, and I'm not buying into this, that Levy thought the Super League was going to go through and Mourinho was going to kick up too much of a fuss? I just think they thought, look, long term, this isn't right. We've got to start fresh. We've got to start fresh. And right. He just wasn't good for the long term, don't you think?
Well, I agree. And what a time to do it. You know, well, we'll talk about the timing of it. But look, we made a deal with the devil. OK,
yeah.
The deal was that we put up with rubbish football. defensive football, but we go 1-0, 2-0 up or whatever. Or how about this? We might go 1-0 down, but we find a way, a different way, to get ourselves back in the game and we win the game. And I think we did that initially. Wolves away, I can remember. We didn't play well, you know, but we rode our luck and we win and we go in, right, oh, okay. Oh, this is how we... Yeah, and you remember those Chelsea performances where we've played against them, or you sit there on a Sunday afternoon and you think, you know, Chelsea are winning this with Mourinho in charge, and they're awful. They stink the place out. And then all of a sudden, you know, Drogba or whoever it is sticks one in the top corner and you're like, hang on, how have they got away with that? Another 3 points. And yeah, you're starting to remember those games. Also, with United, I was speaking to a United fan today, and I said, I remember for two and a half years or whatever he was your manager, you said to me each time, not looking forward to it, it's awful. And I remember I said to him, you know, you've won two trophies. He said, I know, but it's awful. It's awful. And then they came second in the league the next year. And I said to him, how can you moan? Two trophies and second. He says, it's absolutely awful. The football is awful. It's not Man United. You go, well, I'll take that. As a Spurs fan, you take it. You take awful football for a second in the league, for two trophies or even one trophy. You take it because you go, right, here's the deal with the devil, right? We forget all our history of playing great football and we just go, right, we're so desperate for a trophy, or we're so desperate to get back in the top four again, or success or whatever, or a couple of decent wins over Chelsea or anything. And we had a victory against Arsenal, a couple of them, a win against City, and a bunch of losses against Liverpool, load of losses against Chelsea. West Ham, a load of losses against them. Awful football, some dire games like a Bournemouth away, you know, and things like that. You know, the list goes on. And you know, going 1-0 up, and you know, what was it, 10 times this year we've gone 1-0 up, and
18 points,
1-0 up, and they've come back to because what are the halftime tactics? Kills the game. Go out and kills the game.
But Steve,
you need to say something else rather than that, Jose. So look, the point is that we made the deal with the devil. We said, look, we've seen your track record, Jose. It's not going to be pretty, but we'll do it. And he didn't deliver. The point was that we play terrible football, but you get into cup finals. You beat Norwich's at home in the FA Cup, no problem. You go 2-0 up in the Europa League and you don't lose a 2-0 lead. You know, that was killing the game, wasn't it, when Kane got the second? We go out there, we shut up shop, absolute brick wall, not getting through, bore everyone to death, maybe let one goal in, but we get through by the skin of our teeth because that's what Jose does. Well, no, he doesn't. He absolutely makes us even into more bottlers, if that's at all possible. Leipzig, out disgracefully. Everton, all of a sudden, he changes tactics. Okay, we will attack. And we can't do that properly. So, look, just an absolute shambles from top to bottom.
Steve,
go on. You can have your say.
No, because, you know, otherwise you're going to go off on one. That's true. Let's just take it back to the beginning, okay? You're a headmaster, Steve, and you interview a teacher, and you say to him, talk to me through your last three jobs. Okay, well, at that school, I demotivated all the kids, and I got the sack. Okay, brilliant. And what about the school before? Well, I demotivated all the kids, and I got the sack. And the one before, I demotivated. All right, so the last three jobs, you've got the sack, and you've demotivated the kids. Okay, yeah, we'll take you on. Like, look, come on, it was going to happen, isn't it? We knew.
The analogy is right.
We knew it was going to happen.
If the teacher then turns around and goes, all right, the kids were miserable leaving school, and their mums and the mums and dads were not happy with me. But I tell you what, I got results for that school. And this school that we're recruiting is failing, right? And they're all right, but they want to get up there. outstanding. I was trying to think of the word. Outstanding. They want to be an outstanding school. And they bring in this guy who, he's miserable. He annoys all the parents. They can't stand him. Other teachers can't stand him. But he gets brilliant results from the kids. And they all leave shattered and exhausted, and they don't like him. But they've all got A's and B's. That's what you're talking about. Well, he then goes to the school and he doesn't get A's and B's. He annoys the parents, he annoys the teachers, and the kids can't stand him, and he's only getting C's and D's. That's the analogy.
Completely. And let me tell you, the day he was hired, we all knew how it was going to end. We all knew it was going to end like this, didn't we? We knew how it was going to end. It was just a case of when. When was it going to get to this point? And I think you've got too many good players there that aren't playing. You've got too many players that are playing that are low in confidence. Plus, you're not winning games. Plus, the fans are getting on his back. You know, you put this all in the mix and he's thinking, this isn't working for me. What's interesting about it is that I don't think he's got anyone lined up. Do you? I don't think they've got anyone lined up at all. I think they've just done it.
I do worry about that. But let's finally.
So,
address
actually,
one
last
more
question to you. I know it's your show. So, how did you feel when you heard he got sacked?
Right. So, I was perplexed because, you know, happy that he'd gone, but also thinking, hang on a minute, 6 days till the cup final. Because I'd done a show a couple of weeks earlier where I'd said, you know, I want it, ultimately, I think he should go. Because unless he picks it up, which I think he did on occasion, you know, we did play some half decent football on occasion. So it was there. It was available. We had enough attacking players to do it. But to sack him 6 days before the cup final. OK, you think, right. OK, Ryan Mason. Do you know what I thought? I thought he's got to bring Harry in. He's got to bring Harry Redknapp in. He sacked him on Monday. Harry Redknapp's going to walk into the changing room on Tuesday and go, right, lads, cup final on Sunday. We've got a game against Southampton Wednesday. I'll play these players. I'll do this and that. And let's have some fun. And all the players look at each other and go, well, we haven't heard that for 18 months.
Yeah.
Or the other one, which I suggested, shot down, you know, on Twitter, was just bring Glenn Hoddle in. You know, like, do you remember when Trevor Brooking used to come in for the end of season? He did it about three times, didn't he, for West Ham? And they, do you remember? And they were always really, really good. So you bring in someone like Glenn Hoddle and, you know, check his health and everything, make sure he's not going to, you know, be in trouble. But you just say, come and stand on the touchline. You know, don't get too involved. You know, he's very analytical, obviously, on Sky. But just come and be our figurehead to stand on the touchline for the cup final.
Yeah.
You know, and stand there and then give a few tips here or there. You know, do what you have, and guide us to the rest of the season. And we won't be doing any more than that unless you want to. You know, that sort of thing, that sort of conversation. But to give it to Ryan Mason, who, you know. A, you know, let's do the positives. All right, nice guy. Seems like a football man. You know, his review of the cup final was completely wrong. But then again, you know, what's he going to say?
Yeah.
But he wasn't even, you know, what was he for us? Like a Stefan Freund player? I mean, he wasn't exactly even a cult hero. You know, he's someone that played for Spurs. No offence, but he's someone that played for Spurs. And he got injured, you know, sadly ended his career at Hull. So we'd already got rid of him. It wasn't as if, you know, he was going places with Spurs. We sold him because he wasn't good enough. So, you know, a middle-of-the-road player who seems like a nice guy and he's managing us in a cup final that we desperately need to win. So that, you know, I take it all back about what I said about Jose because, you know, and final point on that is the team he selected for the final. What the hell was that? And the tactics.
But we'll come on
the
to
team
the
and the tactics. What were they? Nothing changed. Might as well have Jose there so that we could all moan about Jose now and say, get him out.
All I would say is, if Jose... Well, first of all, I was over the moon and was jumping up with joy when I heard he'd gone. Secondly, I still don't think we'd have won the cup final with him because Man City are fantastic and we're not. And thirdly... If Jose had picked the team that Mason picked and made the substitutes that Mason picked, he'd have got destroyed.
And I think he would have done, though, don't you? Apart from apart from Ndombele for Winks,
yeah,
I think that would have been his cup final team. But the let's talk about tactics, Dukes. What were they? What was going on with the tactics?
He didn't have any.
No, but they were Jose Mourinho's tactics, weren't they?
Well, I thought it was going to be
completely
different.
There was no difference whatsoever. It was sit back. It was, you know, don't forget, we played City a month ago and lost 3-0 in an equally as dire game. Yeah. You know, sit back. The only reason that we didn't lose by more is because Toby and Dyer must have said to each other, right, let's put a shift in today.
Yeah. And Lloris was good.
And they were brilliant. The fullbacks were dreadful again. Yeah. You know, where's Tanganga gone?
Yeah.
Didn't he play 3 or 4 half decent games?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, he's out the side. I don't know why.
Yeah.
You've got Reguilón who was looking dodgy. We'd all still have played him, but what were his instructions? Surely he goes to him, right, you know, Jose, you played the first half a dozen games, you look terrific. Haven't seen it in 6 months. He got injured, didn't he?
Yeah.
Haven't seen it. But let's go back to the old Reguilón, where you're bombing up the pitch. You've got the speed, you can get back. Didn't cross the halfway line, did he?
Well,
kept giving the ball away. Kept doing stupid things, like removed his brain.
Well, he gave the stupid foul away, which was a terrible foul.
Yeah.
Like someone who was out of form, who was like missing a yard of pace. I thought the fullbacks were okay and they were higher, but you know, you look at the game and you think, well, Winks has come in. Winks isn't good enough. So you've dropped Ndombele, who keeps hold of the ball. He moves us forward. Then what happens is he picks Bale, Son and Lucas up front. They didn't have a shot in the whole game. They didn't have one shot.
Well,
and then Son at the end of it is crying. I'm thinking, he didn't even look like you tried.
Well, look, let's go from the start. If you know, no one's going to watch the game back. But do you remember when we played Arsenal? And, you know, did we speak about it? I mean, I spoke to loads of people about it. But the fact that we didn't push from the front.
No.
And what you do against Arsenal when it was David Luiz and all the dodgy defenders is you push and you push on. Do you remember when Poch first came to Spurs and Klopp first went to Liverpool? And the first thing they tell him, we high press.
Yeah.
No high press against Manchester City in a cup final, which we're desperate to win.
Yeah.
You know, go and win this game or make an effort and blow yourself out. Yeah, this is the game. There's no other game for a year if we get there. So go and blow yourself out, right, for this. Go and make yourself a hero. But what we do is all three, and Lucas Moura had a couple of decent runs, so I don't really want to criticise him that much. But the three, you know, where's Kane? Shouting, screaming, push on, Sonny, yeah. Pushing on.
Well, they didn't.
Nicking the ball.
They sat back on the halfway line. That was the instructions. Let them have it to the halfway line. Let's not, and then it condenses the pitch, and it doesn't let them play through the midfield. But they're too good. You know, you're playing Højbjerg and Winks versus, you know, Silva didn't play, but Foden and you know, these players are too good. This is brilliant.
Dukes, what do we know about City's tactics? Do we know that they hit the ball over the top like a Leicester to Vardy?
Never.
Or do they camp in your half?
Yeah.
And get round the back and play little short passes and play little 1-2s before one of them unleashes a shot. Which one of those?
The second one.
Everybody knows that. So why are we saying, right, I'll tell you what we do, Spurs. We'll let them play in our half. Why aren't we pushing right up and going, go on then, hit us over the top.
Hit us over the top if you want to. We're not good enough to do that. And he doesn't trust the defence.
But if you have the tactics, Dukes... You have the tactics. You either let them play in your half and try and defend for your lives on the edge of your box or the edge of your 6-yard box, as it appeared to be, or we go, right, the only way we win in this game is if we push up and try and push them in their half, to which they've then got to, you know, and play the offside or try it that way. Because Man City don't score goals going through the middle and going over the top. They score goals by pressing right on, scaring the living Jesus out of teams, and that's how they do it. And I just that's what we watched. And you know, second half, there was a little bit more going on. Holbier scored, you know, been watching Soldado DVDs from Fiorentina when he plays the worst pass of,
weren't they?
The worst pass I've ever I've seen since then. No one up there game. Kane, you know, where was the demand from Kane? This is my game. This is the game. Not he was fit. Injured. He was clearly
not
injured.
Not
didn't
fit.
Want the ball. Didn't want the ball.
Robert, let me tell you something else.
Go on.
There's three things that if I hadn't watched that game, you knew would happen. You knew that Sergio Aurier was going to make a mistake and give a goal away. You knew that. He does it every game. You knew that Sissoko was going to come on because he does it, and that's terrible. But that's
against Southampton, he's bringing Winks on, and we're all going, okay, this is different.
Yeah.
Why is he not bringing in Ndombele on? But why is he bringing Sissoko on? All can't stand him.
Who didn't mark his man and ducked on the header. And then the third thing
he didn't do it.
He brought Bale on for 20 minutes, and Bale was atrocious.
He was atrocious. But Mourinho tried to bring Sissoko on against the City, against United. It backfired.
Yeah.
We were 1-1. We were 1-1 with United. Mourinho thought, I'll bring Sissoko on to stop Pogba. Didn't do it. Made him play even better. They absolutely crucified us. So again, we go, we're looking a bit dodge. It's 0-0. But I tell you what, we'll bring Sissoko on because he could. No, Sissoko is gone. Sissoko was great a couple of years ago. Champions League runner. He's now gone. He's finished. And he was finished. I think it was a Europa game. About 6 months ago, and he played it. And I remember him walking off the pitch, shaking his head on about 70 minutes, and Lloris talking to him. Do you remember this? I don't even remember this. But it was like, yeah, he's gone now. And all over Twitter, that was the last time you'll see Sissoko in a Spurs shirt.
Okay, so why didn't we go on the front foot? So start with Bale. Don't bring him on as a sub. Start with Bale, Son, and go on the front foot.
Well, I thought
we didn't.
I thought that was why
because I thought they would have marked us, pushed the fullbacks back.
I thought that was one of the reasons Jose got rid of Mourinho, because Jose was getting too involved in the team selection. This is one of the conspiracy theories.
He
was getting too involved in and he wasn't playing Bale enough. So surely, when he said to Mason, "You got the job, but by the way, I'm not paying Bale 200." K to sit on the bench. I want him playing. Mason, you know, would have surely gone, all right, yeah, no problem. But he's not there. I mean, picking Lo Celso again, who we're all scratching our heads going, this is a guy. Where do we get him from? Betis?
Well, he was on loan at PSG, but Betis. Again, but he's a number 10. He doesn't play in a three-man midfield. He plays behind the striker.
But he's a guy that should be playing for a mid-table West Ham, you know, or a half decent Europa club, or maybe a team that plays for a fourth place group Champions League team, you know, or in the French league, like you say, Paris Saint-Germain, maybe not them. I mean, this guy Lo Celso, right, within 2 years is going to be playing back for Betis, or he'll be playing in the Dutch league or wherever.
However, I will defend him, and he was good, and then he got injured. And from that injury, he's never been the same.
He's
good for the first.
I'll tell you what summed it up for me about our team at the moment. Right, I spoke to the guy, a guy who's in Brazil who does the Cheese Room podcast, and I said to him about Vinicius, and it was almost as if we were talking about somebody like a England striker who you wouldn't even consider for England. Chris Wood scored the other day.
Yeah.
But you know, the first time you would ever, you know, Bamford maybe or someone like that, right? Yeah, they're all right. They play for their clubs, but you don't even consider them for England, right? Vinicius is totally off the radar for Brazil, right? And I know they've got good players and everything, but you know, we're trying to compete. We've just been to Champions League 2 years ago, and we can talk about, you know, what our transfer policy after that. But this is the player that we bought. Why is Iheanacho knocking goals in for Leicester? Yeah. And they bring on another striker, Perez, who was half decent at Newcastle. This has been 5 years now, and we haven't addressed the Kane gets injured at least 6 weeks a season, normally more.
Yeah.
He needs a push. Not only that, does Kane needs to come off on 75 minutes in 9 out of 10 games, just like every other striker. Sergio Aguero
doesn't play every game,
but even if he's in his height, right, Sergio Aguero comes off after 75, 80 minutes, right, every single game. Gary Lineker came off after 70 minutes every single game for Paul Walsh, right? So that's what strikers do. They run their butts off. And then the secondary striker comes on and he might get a goal as well. And then the cup games, the secondary striker plays and all this stuff. And we had Llorente for a season where he did that. I was watching something the other day, and West Ham in the cup game, away at West Ham, and Llorente was there and he got a goal. And, you know, and Kane was nowhere to... You know, what have we done to not address that?
Right, listen, Steve. If you take it by the player, Lloris passed his best. Serge Aurier, not good enough for the Premier League. Dyer, not good enough. Toby Alderweireld, too old. Serge Reguilon, injured. Højbjerg, a good average Premier League player. Winks, a bottom of the half of the Premier League player. Kane, injured. Son, out of form. Bale, didn't start. So what do you expect? What do you expect? You're not going to get any. We should have got beat 4 or 5 nil.
You expect different tactics, at least.
Yes, and we didn't have any different tactics. So I think
no tactics whatsoever.
And I'm not buying into this whole. Well, I only had a few days to. Do you know what? Whether you had a few days or not, you'd still say to them, "We're going to line up differently. We're going to play 10 yards higher. We're going to push. Whatever they're going to do differently, do it." But ultimately, he got the whole thing wrong. But saying that, does it just highlight, actually, he didn't get it wrong. That's the hand he's dealt with. And actually, it's the hand that Levy's given the whole, and we don't want to go into Levy, but it's what Levy's given us the last 4 years.
I mean,
that's where it stems from.
Look, Levy, Enoch, there's now six clubs in England who like fan bases who want to get rid of their chairman. And I'm going to say this now, that first of all, absolutely, we want them gone. There isn't a Spurs fan who, first of all, we don't know the finances, right? We don't know what's going on, but we look at it like this, right? We go and buy, three or four really good players after we've been in the Champions League final, right? Or leading up to it in the last 5 years under Pochettino. Can we not have got these five, Tielemans at Leicester, Madison, I know he's an Arsenal fan, but,
the decent centre-back at Leicester, look, where his name is,
Yeah, some of these players, the guy that West Ham got, Suchek or whatever, what a good player he is.
Kozrej.
I mean, the list goes on, Dukes, but the point is that the recruitment's awful. As soon as that Hitchin says, "I hate the transfer window," it out. What do you? That again, I hate teaching kids. Do you out? You're not doing it. No one can pace that, by the way. But the point is, right, that all these things that we as fans can see, not replacing Kane, not having a backup for Kane. Still not addressed, and we went and got the Dutch guy. Didn't work out. Doesn't mean you stop. You go and get another one, and it just goes on and on and on. And I Vinicius, he comes in, and I hear straight away, Jose doesn't like him. He's not good in. He's nowhere near good enough. Yeah. Well then, fine. He's a young kid, or not that young actually. Go and get another one. What we've said it before, what is the point of having Jose when he can't pick up the phone to one of his Portuguese mate players or agents and go, "Can you get me a striker?" We've been, Doogie, in Spain with an agent where his phone goes and it's Harry Redknapp, right, going, "Can you get me a goalie? I've got two injured goalies for the start of the season. Can you get me one?" And he goes, "Yeah, I've got a lad from Montenegro who's looking to join the Premier League. I'll sort the deal out." What? No? Is that not going on?
Look, I think right here, right now, you know, the club is going downwards in terms of valuation, because the assets are going down in valuation and our league position is going down in which means our valuation, because we're not in the Champions League. But we've got a fantastic stadium, a fantastic training. We've got everything in place. So surely now's the time to sell it. Just sell it. And you know, I want someone to invest who I'm not, you know, Man City don't invest. Yes, they invest a lot, but he doesn't pay more than 50, 60 million. You know, Diaz, 55 or whatever, he doesn't pay stupid money, but he makes the right signings.
Cancelo, yeah, you're right.
30, you know, so I think we're now at the point where we're done. And actually, do you know what? Anyone who sacks Pochettino rather than invest in Pochettino hasn't got a clue. Like, surely, like, who sacks him rather than invests in him?
Again, with the Pochettino thing, there is another side to it, which is he fell out of love with it. He did.
Oh, I think he fell out of a lot of the. He fell out of love with a lot of the players because they're useless.
Yeah, but managers, you know, do have dips as well. There was a time about 6 or 7 years before Fergie eventually quit. He had a massive dip.
Yeah, took a year out or six. I'm sure he took or not. He had a terrible season, didn't he?
They had a dip of about 2 or 3 years where of course they've still got great players, but they weren't looking. And it was each week it was he needs to go. Look at Wenger. Wenger stayed for another good 4 or 5 years after the first rumblings of Wenger needs to go. His time's up. He clung on there, won 3 FA Cups.
But the league, if you look at the league, I saw it the other week. If you look at the league table of investment over the last 10 years, the top teams that have been invested in have won all the trophies, apart from Leicester, which was a one-off. It was unique. We're like 18th or 15th in the league in terms of investment. So that's where we are. Until you invest, you're never going to get anywhere. You know, we're watching the same old dross. So I guess that comes on to what do they do now? You know, what's the next thing now?
Look, you know, there's a few people that we can go around these Ten Hags and all those sort of people and what have you. And
who do you think we'll get? I'll go first. I'll tell you what I think we're going to
get. I'll tell you who I think we'll end up with. And I think we'll end up with Ryan Mason. I really, really do. I think
we'll get.
Hang on. I think that, you know, I'm now wondering if Levy is so stubborn that he's going, right, do you know what, Spurs fans? Fine. You think I'm this beast. You think I'm horrible. You blah, blah, blah. Fine. We'll have Ryan Mason as manager and we'll go and we'll do it that. We'll go, you know, that'll be that. It won't be our fault, of course. But I don't know. But I'll chuck a couple of names at you after you think you know who it is. Go on.
I think he's going to get Scott Parker.
Okay.
Just because I just think I'm a bit like you. I think he's going to go for a cheap option, young English manager who's plays decent. Look, the first
he'll want the job. That's one thing.
he wants a manager that plays good football. He wants a manager that's not going to cost him a lot of money, and he wants a manager that is going to develop the younger player. That's what he wants.
Mm.
He don't care about trophies. I know he says he does, but he doesn't because he doesn't invest. So he wants to get the value out of his players. So who can he bring in that can coach the players back up to their value? I think he'll get Scott Parker because I don't want Martinez and I don't want Ten Hag. I don't want any of them. I'd rather have someone who knows the Premier League. Scott Parker plays half decent football, but I don't know. Would he excite the fans? Would he excite the players? Probably not. But who else is that?
I mean, Martinez is the Belgian manager, right?
He's not good enough. He was not.
Yeah, but what I'm going to say is, why would he leave? Is he leaving?
No.
Is he leaving the number one country currently in the world to come and manage Tottenham? What are we talking about? Nagelsmann, he's going to Bayern Munich. And 2 months ago, we're going, we don't want Nagelsmann. He hasn't got enough experience. And now he's going to manage one of the top four clubs in the world.
They've paid 20-odd million to get him out of his contract and they've given him a 5-year deal. biggest ever deal Bayern Munich have given him.
Right.
Second one. I'll tell you the other one. The other one, Brendan Rodgers. Well, I quite like him, but I still don't really like him. But if he gets the Champions League, and if he gets them to win the FA Cup, he won't leave.
Well, just on that, if that happens, then he'll have a fantastic season. But he shouldn't leave, and absolutely not. But here's what will happen, right? And here's my prediction. That he's got a very good chance of winning that FA Cup because Chelsea sometimes don't turn up, like we've seen in FA Cup finals against Arsenal, when you pray that Chelsea actually turn up to these cup finals. And that, don't make no mistake about it, that is why Arsenal have won a couple of those FA Cup finals, because Chelsea have been absolutely dreadful.
Well, they turn up against us.
I don't know why they turn up against us and they don't against Arsenal. It's almost as if they go off the pitch chuckling to each other, you know, and the fans walk away going, well, that will get on the nerves of Spurs, won't it? You know, that conspiracy theories again. But look, in terms of what was you saying? Before that?
The manager, Brendan Rodgers.
Brendan Rodgers, right. This time next year, will be managing a Leicester City side desperate to try and get into the top half of the table, desperate to recoup what they've got. Vardy would have announced his retirement, and they'd have been long out of the Champions League and the two other domestic cups, right?
Yeah.
So...
Yeah.
Although, yes, there's no, why would he possibly speak to Spurs? I'm telling you now that they will struggle to get out of their Champions League group. They'll go out of the League Cup because they will play a really weakened side. They'll go out of the FA Cup again, same reason. And they'll struggle with their league form because of the focus on the Champions League. And they haven't got, although, you know, they've got some really good players, I don't think they'll recruit good players, good enough players to do all those things. And I think this time next year, Brendan Rodgers will have a mid-table Leicester side. So whereas I think we, funnily enough, will still be, I don't think we'll be any better. But I don't think we'll be a lot worse. I think we'll be, this time next year, I can see whoever the manager is, us sixth or seventh in the league, hopefully playing better football and enjoying it a little bit more. Maybe with a couple of wins against one of our rivals, you know, would be nice. But these cup runs, look, we bang on about these trophies, but it's blimmin' hard. Have you, you know, we lose to Chelsea's and Man United's and we lose to Man City. Can we play Hull in a final, please? Is there any chance? Is there any chance we can play Chelsea in a final when they don't turn up?
I tell you what,
because
we can do.
You know, we have been unlucky in these finals, haven't we?
No, I tell you what we can do. We can invest in a decent team. That's what we can do. And then you don't worry about playing those teams because you've got a decent team to play them. That's what we need to do. But do you know what? I think you're right. I think he might go with Ryan. You can see it, couldn't you? You could see him going with him and just saying,
I can see him going with him because I think he'll go, right, well, we'll go with Ryan Mason because it doesn't cost any money.
He's Harry Kane's best mate, isn't he? So they all grew up together.
Yeah.
Just very quickly on one other thing before I forget. Harry Kane has got 3 years left. He won't leave this year because no one will pay that money for him. I don't think he'll leave, but I think Son will leave.
Well, I think there's a good chance that both of them will put transfer requests in, or at least say they want to leave. I've got, like Messi did last year.
Yeah.
But I've got a feeling that they, you know, look, let's face it. I mean, who's watching that game yesterday and going, right, we'll have Son, you know, we value Son as one of a brilliant player who can fit in any team. You know, a Man City watching that yesterday and going, yeah, well, we'll have Son. Yeah.
I don't know, but I think...
Kane's injuries, things like that.
Liverpool could buy Son. Man City could buy, like, you could see him going to Liverpool or Man City.
But the point I'm going to make is that I don't think either will go, and I think, you know, like, we couldn't get any worse now. It couldn't get any more embarrassing now. I'm going to tell you, I think it will, because I think at the end of the season, a week after the end of the season, or after the Euros, when we again, you know, just talking about the Euros, you've got Phil Foden, who's playing absolutely brilliantly. Yeah. Okay. Guarantee you now, he will be terrible in the Euros. Right.
No.
He will be absolutely terrible.
Brilliant.
I'm telling you now, he will be terrible. I tell you what, he will be awful, as will these other players that go. You know, Mason Mount and Madison if he goes, and Grealish if he goes, and the lads at Dortmund, Sancho and Bellingham, they'll all be dreadful, because when they play for England, they're absolutely tripe, right? So that's my prediction. But what I'm going to say is, when they come back, Son and Kane will both put in transfer requests, which will embarrass us further, right? Or they will at some point put in transfer records, but they won't go anywhere, because Levy will go put a price on them.
Yeah.
No one will come in with the money, and yeah, we'll be sitting there in Spain, right, having a beer in a bar, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
We all agree on this. Watching Tottenham Hotspur versus Brighton, right?
And that's usually Villa, isn't it? We get Villa first, don't
we? We get Villa first, right? Or Newcastle away, okay? Yeah. And Son and Kane, right, will both be sitting on our bench, okay, because they're both transfer requests are in, right, and they'll both be on our bench, and whatever our team will be, and they'll come on, and we'll win 1-0 or whatever, and then that week they'll withdraw their transfer requests because no one's coming for them, and then we'll play the rest of the season like that, and it will be that, you know, doom and gloom. That's the most doom and gloom prediction, but that's what I predict.
Yeah, I don't predict that, but it's a good prediction. I predict that we will get one of these younger managers, and he'll be told just invest in the youth for 2 years. I can just see it happen. I can't see them spending big money on anyone. They're not going to spend big money on anyone. We don't. That's what we don't do anymore.
Right. What about this young manager? Okay, a young coach. Okay, who has worked with the best? Who 2 years ago was, everyone said he's a great coach. I'd never heard of him, but everyone said he's a great coach. He knows the club. Okay, he's worked with the best, and he's out of work currently, and he is unlikely. He's only a coach at the moment, by the way. He's not a first team coach. Yeah. And he's unlikely to get a job anytime soon, because the person that he normally works with is very unlikely to get a job this summer. And I'm talking about Jose Mourinho's number two, Sacramento.
Who, by all accounts, no one liked him. If you read it all, he was part of the problem.
I thought he was liked.
No, you need to read all the reports.
Oh, okay, we'll strap that then.
But agreed, he was meant to be this up-and-coming coach, wasn't he? He was meant to be the best coach in Europe.
But do you know why I thought of him? Because I thought, we haven't had a manager running up and down that touchline like Arteta does, shouting and screaming, you watch all these managers at the moment. Tuchel at Chelsea, you know, you watch him tonight, he'll be up and down off that bench, kicking every ball, frustrated, facial expressions. And we've had Jose Mourinho sitting on a bench looking miserable for 18 months, right? But I just thought he would be somebody that you'd go, go on then, you're a young guy, what's he, Portuguese?
I think so, isn't he? Or is he Brazilian?
Yeah, begin your career. But if he's not, and I thought he might do a Martin Jol, come in and go, right, guys, you know, we know about Jose, you know, I was the go-between. Like Martin Jol, that's the way I saw it. I'm very surprised for you to say that he wasn't popular.
But I tell you another thing which is interesting is everyone was how great Arteta was going to be. Arsenal are 10th. They're doing terrible.
I know, but they got a bad team.
But why? But right,
I don't think they've got bad a team as people say.
You can say Chelsea, but you look at Chelsea's starting 11 compared to ours and Arsenal's. Anyone would do well in that side. Lampard was doing okay. So actually, Arteta's got the same problem as anyone that comes into our club. We've got terrible players. Just
right,
like
the other one then.
Terrible players. So until you invest, you can bang on about all these managers, but until you invest five new players.
Right. The other one, and if we get this guy, we're getting him because he's a name, and we're getting him because he's got a phone number to brilliant players. Okay. And I'm talking about Jurgen Klinsmann.
Yeah.
Okay. And what happens is, and we said this about Jose, okay, the young German under 18 striker, striker, whoever it is, his dad gets a phone call, right? Hello, this is Jurgen Klinsmann. Okay, I'm thinking about bringing your boy, who's at Werner Bremen or whatever, to Tottenham. We'll look after him. You know, you'll get your cut, you know, and blah, blah, blah.
You're all right.
Do that. Or you phone up your mate at Dortmund, or even at Bayern Munich, German centre-back, who's, I don't even know him these days, but 34-year-old, solid, horrible German centre-back, and you go, is Hummel still playing?
Yeah,
someone like that, who's in at the end of their career. Hang on, like a Nabet, because Nabet was terrific when he came in, and you just say, right, Jurgen Klinsmann here, fancy coming to Spurs and playing in the Premier League, right? Which is what Jose didn't do.
No.
Did Jose phone up anybody from Real Madrid? You know what we should have seen. Let me just finish this point. What we should have seen is last summer Sergio Ramos holding up a Spurs shirt. And for us lot to go, that's exactly why we got Jose.
I'll give you an example of someone who's done it. Is David Moyes.
Well, so acknowledge that point first.
Well, no, wait there. David Moyes, okay? Because Ramos was never going to come to Spurs, right? David Moyes.
Oh, yeah, but someone like that.
Yes, but David
Jose Moyes. Mourinho, amazing signing. Yes. And he didn't get anywhere near close.
But,
go on.
David Moyes, he bought the two guys from Czechoslovakia in, the two guys from Prague who are brilliant. And he'd done exactly what Jose should have done. He brought Craig Dawson in, who's been their best player at centre-back. And he's a nobody, but he's a journeyman. And then he brought Jesse Lingard in. So he brought two really good loanees in, didn't he? Who completely made their team. Mourinho hasn't done any of that.
Argue that Doherty was a Dawson, but it hasn't worked out for him.
Well, I don't know. He did. Well, he brought in the guy from Portugal that we all thought was going to be great. And he was terrible after the first game. Who was the young kid from Portugal? He was centre midfield, and then right back.
Oh, Gedson.
Yeah.
Gedson Fernandes.
He's been brilliant. But again, is this because Daniel Levy constantly wants a deal? He constantly wants a cheap deal, and it's like...
I mean, who is the centre-back for Portugal? Surely Mourinho's got his phone number, and he phones him up and goes, this is Jose Mourinho, the greatest ever Portuguese person... Come and play for Tottenham. We need a centre-back.
But do you know what we need, though, Steve?
Go on.
We need a new goalie and we need a new back four. So there's five players straight away.
We need every position. But goalie is the least of our worries.
You know? Apart
from goalie's the least of our worries, mate.
What is
the least of our worries.
What is?
Goalie.
Yeah, no. Okay, so you wake up tomorrow, I put Sky News on, and we've appointed X. Who would you be excited by?
Well, I think Jurgen Klinsmann could get the fans on side. I think it'd be a lot of doubt about it, but I think, you know, if you know, you roll plays through your head. Jurgen Klinsmann sits there in his first conference and he says, you know, what he wants to do and blah blah blah. And then the first question is Harry Kane, and Jurgen says, yes, we had breakfast this morning. We had a nice chat. You go in, right, well, Harry Kane's talking to Jurgen Klinsmann. That's a good start, because who's the greatest striker you could possibly, sit opposite?
You can't. He's been at the game. I think it will be Scott Parker and Ryan Mason. And that's just so not good enough. Is it?
It's not good enough.
Ignores Eddie Howe. Let's not go down that route either.
Eddie Howe is a nice guy, and you know, he did well with Bournemouth. You know, and is that what we're saying? Are we on Bournemouth's level in terms of probably in terms of the team that Bournemouth had? You know, we're not far away from that team.
Do we want just some decent football? Do we want to watch some decent football? Look, you know, would we rather watch a decent young right back and a decent centre half?
Here's another one that's just popped into my head. Callum Wilson, who at the weekend tore Liverpool to shreds in the last 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Why isn't he sitting on our bench coming on for Harry Kane?
And I'm not buying into this. No one wants to be on the bench because they play load of, they'd get load of games.
Of course they would. Of course they would. I mean, it just, you know, there's so many things. And listening to Jason on the Last Word on Spurs podcast, which was great, the fallout from the cup final, your mate Lee McQueen, just absolutely all over the place. It was hilarious. It was like, no, hilarious as in brilliant. You know, well done, Lee. But Jason said, we say this, and we say this every season. We've got 5 games left, and you look at those fixtures. And apart from Leicester in the last game, but, you know, saying that hopefully, you know, by the time we play Leicester, here's the ideal scenario. We play Leicester and they've already qualified for the Champions League and we need a win to get in, right? But we've got 4 very, very winnable games.
Definitely.
You know, Sheffield United, Wolves, who are terrible. Who else we got?
Leeds.
Leeds, who are beatable.
Aston Villa.
And Aston Villa, who you know, the 2 sides, mid-table, nothing to play for, you know, and we've got something to play for, so should be beating those teams.
We won't, Doogie.
We won't get more than 4 points from those last 5 games because we're going to play Sheffield United this weekend, and you know, I'd like to say we'll win that one, right? So that's that one put to bed. But you know, I wouldn't be surprised if that's 0-0 in another dreadful, dire game. And then Wolves, it's Dr. Tottenham with Wolves. We'll go to Leeds and they'll have the best game of the season. They'll win 3-0. We'll play Aston Villa, who with no pressure on them, and Grealish will be back. And they'll win 2-1 in a brilliant game. That fans back, I think, for that one or something. Oh no, we're going to do a protest for that one, even though we haven't got a buyer. And then the last game of the season, Leicester, even though they've got nothing to play for, will do us again. And it's just, it will be dreadful. These last few games, it will be like when we got Tim Sherwood, and we were desperate. For the last few games, we've got nothing to play for. Just Tim Sherwood, put a bit of pride back in the side, and we go to West Ham, and two players in the wall both step out the way. It will be that sort of dreadful shenanigans.
Because I tell you another thing we haven't spoke about is that with the Euros coming up, a few of these players will be taking it. I'm not saying they're going to take it easy, but they will do. They'll be like, well...
You can say that you're absolutely spot on. Harry Kane has just done his ankle. Okay, he's now got 5 football matches that are meaningless.
Yeah,
you know, if Chelsea win Chelsea beat Fulham, which is on the Saturday, is it?
Yeah, I think so.
Which they will do. Leicester play Friday against Southampton. That's a win for them. Yeah. Chelsea beat Fulham before we play. That's a win for them. That means that Chelsea are 8 points clear of us.
Right,
and you know. Harry Kane will look at that and go, right, my ankle. I'll get my ankle fit straight for England. Of course he will. Why wouldn't he? Why wouldn't he?
That's
get himself sorted for that. And the other players, Dyer will think, right, well, you know, I'm off. I'll be going. Aurier's had enough. He'll be thinking about summer holidays. Reguilon back to Real Madrid, although I don't know why they would want him.
Yeah.
And Lloris will go to PSG because I bet he's already been on the phone. And, you know, the list goes on. Go on, what do you want to say?
Well, I look at a few of the others. I mean, he's killed. He kills players with confidence, right? That's the first thing he does. Like Dele Alli, Winks, and a few others, Bale. But he also kills players by overplaying them. Kane and Højbjerg. He's overplayed them, isn't he? Højbjerg looks like he's running in sand.
Yeah.
Because he's played it every game.
Yeah.
It's just... Anyway, I don't think they'll sell. And I think they'll get a young manager that brings all the young talent through. That's just what I think they'll do. That's my gut feel. I can't see... They won't go for an Allegri or Sarri or whatever. I can't see it happening because there's no money to invest.
But you see these youngsters, right? And we've seen it for years, Dukes. You watch these Europa games or the League Cup games with these Arsenal youngsters and the Chelsea youngsters. You think they're brilliant, aren't they?
Look at Mason Mount, you think.
Oh, God. You know, but even people like Loftus-Cheeks when he first came on the scene, and all these Arsenal youngsters who come on the scene, and all the double-barreled names, and they're all absolutely brilliant. And all right, they might move on after a couple of years, but they come and they're brilliant. And we're bringing these players on. You know, all right, Alfie Devine scores a goal against Marine, and Scarlett does a couple of step-overs or whatever.
Do you know why I'll defend them? Because they're all 16, 17-year-olds. Whereas the Arsenal boys are 19, 20, 21. So there's a gap there. Mourinho has said in the past that the younger age group is better than the he said the 17s and 18 is the best age group he's seen for a long time.
I mean, what is going on? Well, our recruitment and everything, it's top to bottom's been dreadful. We've got a brilliant stadium and we've got a brilliant training ground. But the trouble is, Dukes, that everybody else is now catching up. Yeah. Isn't it right that Leicester have now got just opened a brilliant new facility,
yeah,
which is amazing. And then Wolves, I think, have got massive investments, so they'll do it. Everton have got a brand new stadium on the way.
Yeah.
So, you know, we've missed our spot. The best spot would have been after the Champions League final. You go round to you go and get Declan Rice, who's just beginning at West Ham, and you say, right, come to the Champions League finalists. And you go to all these clubs, and or with Jose Mourinho. We had a chance with Jose Mourinho. Right, Jose Mourinho, pick the phone up to somebody, then go to Levy and say, I've just been on the phone to, I don't know, whoever it is, Benzema, or I've been on the phone to so-and-so. They fancy the Premier League. Can you fund it? And then when Levy turns around, Dukes, when Levy turns around and goes, no, sorry, I'm not on the funds, Jose says to him, well, in that case, then you need Eddie Howe as your manager because you need someone to manage this group of players. I can't manage them because I buy players because I'm Jose Mourinho. Thank you very much, Mr. Levy. I won't mention you in the finances. I'll say that, I'll make up something else, but this job isn't for me. My reputation is going to go down the pan, which it has. Go on.
But also, look, we don't know the ins and outs, and we only read stuff. And as football fans, we're like, oh, this, you know, we worry about the money. The money's irrelevant to us. I couldn't care less about what we're worth, what we're not worth, who's paid what. It doesn't. I just want to see decent football and compete in matches and everyone give it their all. But ultimately, Mourinho, he's chuffed. He's just got, let's say, 20 million. He got sacked and got like this is so old. What I'm saying is, and this is the first time I've felt this the last few weeks. It all comes back to Levy. Everything that happens is all Levy's decisions. You know, he's now wasted money getting rid of Mourinho, which he could have spent on a player. You know, he's wasted money getting Mourinho in and not investing in the right. So Levy's now the core of the problem, I think. Yeah. Don't you?
He's the core
of the issue.
Look at it. We sign a paint deal. What's that?
It's important for the business.
We sign up for to Amazon, who do a documentary series about either teams that are relegated or teams that win stuff, and it's called All or Nothing. And the point is to make fans watch the Sunderland documentary, and you feel for those fans, and you go, my goodness, yeah. I never even watched it, but this is what I've heard. You know, and you go, God, that is, you know, what a tough.
I've watched it, and it's a tough.
Right? And it's a tough. And you, right, and you feel for it and everything. Or you watch the Man City documentary, and you go, All or Nothing. God, whoa, I mean, what brilliant. You watch the Spurs one, nothing happened.
No, it was average. They should have just called it average.
They tried to hype up the fact that we got into the Europa League at the end, and it was like, hey, big success.
But that sums up us. That All or Nothing, and the fact it wasn't all, it sums up exactly where we've been.
An episode designated to Tanganga, an episode designated to Bergwijn signing, you know, an episode designated to Danny Rose not being happy. It was absolute rubbish. And for Daniel Levy to give the go ahead on that, in the season after we were in the Champions League. Do it the Champions League season, the season before. Or say, look, give it a couple of years because we're in transition at the or whatever. You know, or buy a couple of players. Go, okay, you know, not Steven Bergwijn. What are you going to do an episode about? Oh, buying Steven Bergwijn. Oh, brilliant. Well, I mean, it's just, and people, I saw someone the other day, oh, I went back and watched the documentary, going, I'm not watching that ever again. It was boring.
Well, I tell you what, let's do an episode on how we're going to make Tanguy and Ndombele play again. Oh, brilliant. What do you mean play again? He's on 100 grand a week, but he doesn't want to play.
He loves to step over. And by the way, he should have played on Sunday. He's played every game. Didn't even come. We could bang on about this.
So I think we need to get over it, and we need to get over all of it and say, right, fresh start, new manager, new investment. Until you get one of those, well, you're going to get a new manager, whatever, because you need a manager. But until they invest, we're always going to be. And I'm bored of people saying, oh, it's Spurs this and Spurs that. Mind you, Jamie Carragher was spot on last night. He said we were gutless and clueless, and we were.
Oh, he was absolutely spot on. And all this bottled it. Yeah. Yes, I will accept that on this occasion. Yeah. I will accept that on this occasion.
Yeah.
I would not accept it against Liverpool because the goal was unfortunate, although it was a handball. It was an unfortunate. He didn't do it deliberately. And then we fought back against a brilliant Liverpool team who didn't lose. Well, it was brilliant in the next season. So it was, it could have been better. Of course it could have been. But we had to be slightly cautious about it. And in the end, you know, it was... it was unfortunate, and the semi-finals against Chelsea and Man United, I thought we were the better. So I didn't think we bottled those, and it's a case of this term bottling, which I bang on about. I won't do it again, but we definitely bottled that one because we just didn't. It was dreadful. We didn't turn up. We're going to bottle these next five games because we're not. It's in our hands. It's in our hands. You know, and if we finish fifth. Right. That will mean that we finish above West Ham. Let's say it's Leicester and Chelsea. Right. That means that we will finish above Liverpool and West Ham and Everton.
And Arsenal.
Huh?
And Arsenal, which is massive.
And Arsenal. Right. So that's not bad.
No.
OK, if we finish fifth. But I tell you what. I don't think we will. And I even think Arsenal could catch us now because I just can't see. How are we going to get these points? I just think the motivation's completely gone. And I'm still looking at the league going, right, if that happens, that happens, that happens. You know, it could all go. No. It's going to go. But I'll tell you what. The one positive I'm going to take out of this is this. While we aren't winning trophies, okay, other teams aren't as well. You know, it's not as if West Ham are winning a trophy or Everton are winning a trophy. Leicester are getting in the top four, but that's not a trophy, is it? That people bang on about.
That doesn't bother me. I couldn't care less about other teams.
I
couldn't care less. But I just need to say one thing. We've about cup finals. Last four cup finals. How many goals we scored?
Yeah.
How many?
Well, none.
I mean, what's that?
But it goes further back than that because we went to before we played at Wembley for a couple of seasons. We hadn't scored at Wembley in a meaningful goal. I think we scored to come 2-1 back against Chelsea, which we eventually lost 5-1. But we hadn't even scored in all those semi-finals. We hadn't scored a meaningful goal.
No.
So look, it's absolutely dreadful. I fear it's going to get worse before it gets better. Because I fear that there's going to be a few more, dreadful. Why haven't we got naming rights for the stadium yet? Why is Lamella had eight different managers and not one of them have said, you need to get rid of this kid.
Yeah.
He's constantly injured. He's the best Rabona striker I've ever seen. But I'm sorry, we need more than a Rabona kicker.
Yeah.
Oh, but he's going to do it one day. He hasn't. Time to go.
He's done two. Time but Sissoko, go. You know, all these. And that's the only good thing about a new manager. You instead of getting him after the Euros, get him in now and he can start the process. At least you've got six, 7 weeks.
Do a massive. And get a turnaround. Get in who you want. Get rid of who you don't want.
Exactly. Don't hold on to them. Don't do a leave-in and keep them in there for the last minute to get a good deal. Just get rid of them. If just you're prepared to waste it, yeah. 20 million on sacking Jose, you can do that on getting rid of some of these players for cheap, and they're sat, you know. I don't care about the money. I just care about good football. I don't care what they you know.
Right.
Anyway.
Million things to talk about, but I think we've covered most of them there. Good old rants and good old times.
Yeah. Are we playing out on tunes now? Are you putting a bit of Guns N' Roses on it?
Yeah, I'm banging out tunes. What do you want?
It's got to be Guns N' Roses. Mind you, the concert's been pushed back, hasn't it?
Yeah, till next year.
Oh. we'll be Premier League champions by then.
I know. Wouldn't that be amazing? Oh. Come on. I mean, look, there we go. That's our predictions.
We've got it off the chest, haven't we?
Who's who? Right, so let's final. Look, yes, Enoch out, Daniel Levy out. Daniel Levy, by the way, won't be sacked because he's. I didn't really realise this. I mean, I'm a Spurs fan. I should know this. He's the nephew of Lewis, right?
He's married to. His nephew, is he?
To Joe Lewis, yeah. Or is he married to. They're related anyway. He won't get sacked because. He's got a massive stake in
David
Spurs.
I thought his son was married to David Dean's daughter or vice versa.
I don't know, but Levy is Enoch, you know what I mean? It will be both of them or neither of them.
Yeah.
We need someone to come in and buy them. And you know what I was thinking? Did you say that there was an offer, and I don't know if this is true, offer for Liverpool for $3 billion and they wanted 3.5. Well, why didn't Daniel Levy phone them up and say, you can have Spurs for $2 million,
yeah, exactly.
$2 billion. Come and buy Spurs for $2 billion. We're in London. We got this. We got that. I then can go off and retire and crack on.
What does he want? You know, he could live off $100 million profit, let alone £1 billion profit. Come on.
Yeah.
Surely there's a level, isn't there? He's a bit like the guy at Arsenal. He's worth billions. Why does he want another $2 billion?
Do you know what's weird about that, though? Do you know the difference? He doesn't care. Kroenke doesn't care. Kroenke couldn't care less. Levy, you know, although people say he doesn't... He's a Spurs fan, exactly. Whichever way you look at it, he's a Spurs fan. He's grown up as a Spurs fan. Yeah. So, you know, and he's at every game. Kroenke isn't at every game.
Yeah, you know.
So there's the difference there. But look how long Mike Ashley... You know, he's got an entire city... that hates his guts.
Yeah.
Yet he goes to every single Newcastle game, and he has done. And they've hated him. These guys are get where they are.
That's because they are
absolutely
where they are.
Couldn't care less about what people think of them. They get called all the names under the sun forever, and they just go, no, I'm not going anywhere. Or they think, you know, we're going to get there in the end, or whatever it is. So it's pine, you know. Come along with the money. Come along with the money and do it. And I know that the Tottenham Trust want the executive board gone and a new board come along and fans involved and things like that. But again, look, me and Dukes, what if they gave it to me and you? We'd sit there, wouldn't we? And you'd say to me, right, number one on the agenda. Hey, here we go, new meeting. Simon Dugan and Steve Robinson, you are representing the fans of the club. What's your first thing on your agenda? And you turn around and go, well, the first thing I think we should do is sort the goalie out. And I go, no, that's the last thing on the agenda.
Exactly.
We're off to a flying start.
And that's how it goes in that boardroom. And do you know what?
Flying start.
You could have 10,000, 50,000 fans. It won't make any difference. Levy's thick-skinned. It doesn't make any difference to him, does it? Yeah.
And that's the problem with having fans involved as well. Because, you know, oh, we need to reduce tickets. Well, hang on. If we reduce tickets, well, we won't have the money for this and that and the other.
And, so everyone's got a view. So no one's going to win on the view.
Yeah.
Just a very last thing, that Super League, there was a small part of me for about 5 minutes that was like, oh, I like the sound of this.
Right.
Didn't
me
you?
Too. And the thing is, this needs to be said more often, right? The ridicule that Spurs have had from this European Super League, we should turn around as the only club that say, well, yeah, of course we were in it. And if we were asked again, we'd be in it because you're ridiculing us. It would be like you got a party of 12 of the best looking people in the world, you included, of course, right? And then you got then you got our mate, okay? And he goes, oh no, what I mean is, isn't it? Well, if you can't ridicule Spurs for being invited and then say Spurs should have said no. Well, no, we're the only team that legitimately said yes, yeah, because we're the only team that shouldn't have been there.
And I played golf with a Chelsea and an Arsenal fan. They're like, oh, it's disgusting. I was like, actually, I quite like the idea of it, because we're not good enough. We never have to qualify. We get £300 million a year to invest. Yeah. We get to watch the best teams in Europe. I quite like the idea of that. Yeah.
You guys do it season in, season out.
We don't.
You don't need to do it. But no. we'd like a bit of that.
Of course we would.
Right, we've got to go.
Guns and Roses.
See you later.
See you later.